Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Where is it? Where is your cell phone? You don't have to look far. It's either in your back pocket. You've got it in your hand. Please use it to send anything wretched to idea@wretched.org. And if you want to use the text function, please do so with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. 877-282-2337.
All right. We start with an email from Jim. Todd, we have a person that just started coming to our church, which is a verse-by-verse Bible teaching church. This person, though, is constantly shouting out during the sermons.
Right.
The amens and the hallelujahs and the bring-its.
Yeah.
Many people in our church have actually moved away from this person. The pastor did speak to them, and it has toned down some.
Yeah.
And I can ignore it for the most part, but some can't.
Yeah.
We're trying to be patient, but it is getting really difficult as it's causing such a stir.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear your opinion.
Gotta look for a Bible verse that would give us some instruction. And the one that comes to mind for me is that church should be done decently and in order. Now, what does that look like? Yeah, that gets a little bit tricky, but church should be done in such a way where the principles that God, the elements that God Himself has regulated, this is what I want in my worship service. They've got to be there, and you need to do it decently and in order. But what about any sort of emotional expression from the congregation? I've got to find a Bible verse that says those things are sinful or inappropriate or would violate decently and in order. Furthermore, what I think about is the life of a congregation, especially in worship, it's a two-way street. Consider little children. A lot of times, moms and dads are reticent to bring their kids into the service because they get squirmy. All right, mom and dad, you need to do everything you can to keep them from squirming and having shouting fits and outbursts. That would be distracting. Having said that, the other side of the street is, hey, look at a mom and dad are bringing their kid into the worship service. How rockin' is that? And we celebrate it and we overlook it. And both of those things need to be going on. And I think the same thing is true with somebody who is more effusive in their response, say, to the sermon. Here's another one for you to consider. What about hand raising? Does that disrupt decently and in order? It bothers some people. It can be distracting to some people. So there's three instances off the top of my thin noodle that would indicate we've got to be a two-way street worship body. You got to work to not distract, and I got to work to not be distracted. You got to work to not do things that are agitating, and I've got to work to not be agitated. How do you get that worked out when you don't have a clear mandate about hand raising, about kids when they squawk on occasion? Or in this instance, somebody who wants to shout out and amen. The answer is, I think you need to put it out on the table and talk about it lovingly together. And this is congregational life. Here's what so easily happens in a situation like this. People don't like the amening. So what do? They complain to the elder. So then the elder then goes to the person and says, hey, we've been getting some complaints. It's kind of distracting. Can you tone it down? That ain't the way it's supposed to work. If it bothers you, you need to bring Bible verses to support what legs you have to stand on to say, hey, brother, love you. I don't want you going anywhere. But could we talk about how effusive you are and how vocal you are during the sermon? And you should be able to get things sorted and worked out if both parties are working it out in love toward one another. Then I can think of it. Let's see. Yeah. because I'm working on this for the sermon on Sunday. The Bible verses that talk about how love is the only thing that really brings about unity. Now, you need truth in there. Otherwise, that's baked into what unity is. You must have truth. But it is love that brings together unity. Why? Because we're not going to agree on everything. And so love overlooks a multitude of issues, even sins, so that we can be together in unity. So I would say, work it out with them. And you need to work on not being distracted. You need to work on overlooking that and just coming to terms with it, because that is the way that individual desires to express him or herself. I know how I feel about it. I personally, I have no problem if somebody lets out an amen. In fact, we had a couple at church a few weeks ago. A couple of times I was hearing amen, and it's like, huh, that's not typically what we do at Alpharetta Bible Church. Were they wrong? I don't think so. Did it bother me? No. Could it distract somebody who maybe is distractible from the pulpit? I suppose so, but a man who has got any experience should be able to stay focused and not get carried away with it. And so I would encourage a congregation to consider, what Bible verses do I have to stand on? And then get along together in unity based on love. Hey, Jimmy, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, you need to look at yourself first before you say something to someone. I mean, why does it bother you? Why is this person shouting out amen and hallelujah really truly bothering you? Because if that person is genuinely worshiping and not drawing attention to themselves,
that's right,
then I think the problem's inward. But if what they're doing...
You know what you actually made me think of, Jimmy? Is that it could be, and I'm not analyzing anybody, but maybe there's a little bit of, I don't want to say guilt, shame. They're kind of excited about this and I'm not. Mm. So why don't you tone it down?
That's right.
And be like me. That could be going on there. Yeah. I personally, now, dancing in church, I don't see that being anything in the Bible that would be regulated that would be approved and affirmed. I guess if somebody is genuinely excited in worship and it's not distracting and it's not sexual, could they do that? This is a personal thing. I'm less comfortable with that. But did you hear what word I chose? Comfortable. That doesn't mean it's necessarily sinful. But Jimmy, I think to your point, if you're doing something as an expression, if it's to draw attention to yourself, you stop it.
Yeah.
But if it's to genuinely worship the Lord effusively, then I think the rest of us have to work on just getting over it. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Brad. He texted in, Todd, you recently advertised the G3 and Shepherd's Conferences. Given the recent trend of pastors falling into disqualifying sin, what can these conferences do to help prevent pastors from falling and from the attendees from idolizing them?
Well, that's two separate things. One, I think that the organizers of the conference vet. I think certain things should be in place. I do not think, if you're a speaker at a conference, you should not be offended if the conference organizer says, we'd like to sit down and talk to you about your inner life. We need to know, because we need to protect the word of God, God's reputation, this conference. We've got some questions. And if a dude isn't willing to say, sure, I don't think that I would have that fellow at the conference. I think that the conference can, and I would say probably should do those things. In defense of conferences, though, when you look at the lives of some of these people, would you have ever guessed? I mean, really, would you have ever guessed that that individual was going to fall, that this was going on? Would that have even been disclosed? Let's give the conferences, cut them a little bit of slack too, because it's not the local church. They don't get to see them day in and day out. Furthermore, even somebody in the context of a local church can be a deceiver. These conferences, they know the reputation of these speakers and they have every reason to be confident in them. So I suspect they're just about as disappointed and hurt as the rest of us are. So I think there's stuff that they can do. I'm not sure that there's anything that they can do perfectly that would keep this from ever happening again. We do have a video up on the YouTube machine. A number of us from Fortas Institute got together to talk about it. I do think, though, to the second question, the idolizing of high-profile evangelicals, there's a balance that must be struck here. We can't ricochet, oh, those guys were being idolized. They fell. Now look at the egg in the face. No more conferences. I think that's just a whiplash response that is inappropriate. I think these conferences are awesome and that they can be great on so many levels. So to throw out the baby with the bathwater, I don't think is wise. What needs to happen to keep these guys from being idolized? That's easy. Don't idolize them. That's it. That one is on us. That one belongs in our own heart. We need to see them as a blessing. Go to the G3 conference, which you can do for 30% off if you use the promo code FORTIS, all caps FORTIS. Wow, it's math and spelling now. And enjoy it and drink it in because it is a massive blessing. Just don't esteem them higher than you ought. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortas Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortas means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortas. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortas Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of conferences, hey, we were speaking of conferences. This is Wretched Radio. Awesome question sent to 877-282-2337. How do we keep from idolizing the high-profile evangelicals? And I believe the answer to that is that's on me. It's not on them. Now, unless a conference is doing something bizarre and ridiculous to make them look like celebrity strobe lights when they enter the stage and Elvis's theme song is blaring away. Okay, that would be a problem. But having a speaker on a platform to bless a group of people because the dude happens to be exceptional in a particular area, there's nothing wrong with that. I need to work on my heart to make sure that I am not elevating that person beyond what they should be esteemed as. Should I esteem them? Sure. Idolize them? No, there's a very big difference. Instead, I need to exercise a muscle that will be in wonderful shape in heaven. Appreciating everything rightly. We're going to have things in heaven even better than great Christian conferences. Meals, entertainment, athletic competitions, work is going to be marvelous. Maybe even inventions, because remember, we're not going to be omniscient. And a lot of the things we do here, we're going to be doing there. The stuff that you love to do here that isn't sinful, you're going to be doing it there. How awesome. But the difference usually between heaven and here with those activities is that here we just do them. Here we just consume them. And we forget that this perfect gift is from the Father of Lights. This is from Him. He gave us this. Whoa, the God's awesome. So whatever the activity is that you're doing, this cup of tea that I've got, I shouldn't drink it and go, man, that tea is amazing. And those people at Throat Coat, wow, I'm just in awe of those people. I should drink this tea and go, Lord, you are, wow, amazing. You gave us tea. You gave us water. You gave us a chemically infused styrofoam cup that I'm sure RFK would not approve of. The point is, I appreciate everything because it comes from Him. That's what you're going to be doing in heaven. You're just going to be digging everything because of Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing now. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to a conference and enjoy some gifted individuals. It means we should go to those conferences understanding that God has gifted them, God has blessed them, and God has given them to the church for us to grow and to be edified. So in other words, we need to be practicing our heavenly heart here on earth. Now, having said all of that, I have noodled. What if Fortis Institute did a conference? Is there anything we could do that would keep that from being a potential, that people would put people up on the platform on a pedestal? And I've mused it, and I thought, well, I don't think that there's any, you know, short of playing da-da-da-da-da-da, which we wouldn't do. Unless it were from a pipe organ, then I'd consider it. We wouldn't do anything that's like trying to, hey, Greg Gifford, huh? He's better than the rest of you, right? We would never do anything to do that, but I'm not sure, though, that there's anything you could do that would keep an individual from potentially doing that. They're going to be on a platform. They're going to have to walk onto the platform. They're going to be sitting and doing Q&A, which are blessings. Unless, of course, you do word association. You don't want to be doing that. So I think the issue, again, when it comes to the idolization of really gifted men, It's not so much on them and the conferences or the system or the internet. It's up to us to guard our hearts, to simply guard our own hearts, appreciate them the way that we're supposed to appreciate everything, just like we'll be doing in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ralph. Todd, will there be...
I'm sorry, from who?
Ralph.
Whom?
Ralph. Ralph.
Is that onomatopoetic? You're trying to sound like Ralph?
Yeah.
Okay. At least, I hope his last name isn't Kratz. Because if you put those two together, Wow, that would be something. Do we have any of those around?
I probably would. It'd take me a while to find them.
Could I find them? That's the question. When we first started doing the integrated podcast with John Kratz, Jimmy had to do the show opens, all of that stuff. That's all Jimmy, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. All of those podcasts, the production, the openings, the music, all of that stuff. That's what Jimmy does all day. And when you did the integrated podcast, the opener, and now all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, Dr. John Kratz.
It was a demo.
So imagine, Ralph Kratz. What's Ralph up to?
He wants to know, will there be more people in heaven or hell?
Well, I think we need to take Jesus at face value when he said, broad is the road that lead to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. How broad, how narrow? Well, we want to be careful with that. We don't want to become universalists, that's for sure, because that would actually violate specifically what Jesus said. But we want to make sure, too, that we recognize as long as somebody is square on the essentials, then they're born again, they're on the narrow road. So for some of us, that road might be slightly wider than we imagined. I don't want to make it narrower than Jesus said, that's for sure. But I think it's pretty clear. Broad is the road, destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And what's so heartbreaking to me increasingly is that people, they don't know what they're missing. And we present such a paltry Jesus so often to people. It can be done in a myriad of ways. Where, in fact, I think we just did a video on that. It'll be coming out soon. I think there's a new Christological heresy. It's Gumby Christianity that we just mold Jesus into something. Hey, do you like this Jesus? Okay, come to church. Yeah. Can't be doing that. And we've done that historically. I think we're doing it in less of a clever way, but just trying to focus on this aspect about won't you just come and check him out. Check out the claims of Jesus. Just check him out. Give him a try for 30 days. And if you don't like it, you can get your money back. Quoth Pastor Rick Warren on the Hannity and Combs program, Christmas Eve, Fox News. The gospel, the Jesus that we present, we need to present the full orbed Jesus. You better believe, we better let people know he's the Lamb who's going to return in wrath. You got to know, you are messing with, you ain't going to win. In fact, you're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on you and crush you and grind you to powder, which is exactly what he is going to do. The rock that offended you is going to crush you. You need to know that. We don't want to get rid of that. But then we want to let people know, do you know what he invites you to now? He invites you to everything. He wants you to be in his kingdom, the kingdom that really is. Love is the kingdom. It really is. This is why when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What was it? What was the first word? What about for the second commandment, which is like it? What was the first word? Love. Love. God wants us to love him. He wants you to love the best thing there is. He doesn't want you to be swimming in a swamp with cheap knockoffs, with things that should be pointing to him, but instead we elevate as our own idol and we're forever disappointed. He wants us to enjoy the best thing that there is. Come on, y'all. What are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? Come to Jesus. You will not only will you never get a better offer, you'll never get a better offerer. You'll never get a better object. You'll never get a better person. You'll never get an experience better than coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, humbling yourself, repenting, and putting your trust in him. That's Jesus. That's the one we need to be presenting. And in an effort these days to try to get more people on the road, puny Jesus, puny, he gets you. He's cool with you. He cries with you. Now, all of these things have a grain of truth in them, but that's puny Jesus. That's like runty Jesus. Okay, so he's a friend. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. You don't understand. Friends that you have on this earth are the best friend that you've ever had pales in comparison to the friendship that you would have in the person of Jesus Christ. They're all just pointing to him. They're mere shadows of the reality of Jesus Christ. And when we change Jesus into a groovy dude, a hip dude, a guy who just kind of laughs at dirty jokes, he wouldn't care about your sins so much. Oh, don't diminish Jesus. Instead, read about the Jesus in the Bible. All of them, because even the stuff that the world would consider severe, if it is explained rightly, they're going to go, that's awesome. You mean he's going to judge everybody? And there's not going to be a criminal who escapes as dragnet and they're brought to justice? Awesome! One more reason you should love Jesus Christ, because even the severe attributes, the things that we find rather challenging, don't get rid of them. Explain them, because there is nothing about God that isn't absolutely magnificent. This is Wretched Radio.